Well, Leslie, Americans love remodeling home sweet home. Do you know it's a $150 billion a year industry?
But are you remodeling to pump up your resale price or to settle in for the long term? Well, before you shell out several thousand bucks, plan accordingly.
Read our guidelines for making your remodeling project pay off when you hit moneypit.com. Just click on ideas and tips, then click repair and improve.
And for answers to any home improvement or home repair questions, give us a call right now, 888-MONEYPIT.
If your roof starts to leak or your floors really squeak, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
If your basement needs a pump or your place looks like a dump, you live in a money pit.
Money pit.
Pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home. I call it 888-MONEY-PIT.
Coast to coast and floorboards to shingles, this is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
And we are here to declare the summer home improvement season officially open for business.
Yay!
So pick up the phone, give us a call right now at 888-MONEY-PIT, and then you can pick up your tools and we will help you get the job done. 888-666-3974. If you've got a project on your mind, a to-do you'd like to get done, something that your significant other has been nagging you about, why not nag us with a phone call at 888-MONEY-PIT, and we will all tackle it together. We've got a great show planned for you coming up this hour. One project you might be thinking about doing is improving your kitchen. If you need some additional space there, whether for storage or work, we have got an idea that may help. We're going to show you how to create a kitchen island using just about anything from stock cabinets to old furniture. It's not hard. It's pretty creative. It looks great, and it's easy to do, and we will share with you how to do that in just a bit.
And you know what? It's totally personal. And when you're making a custom island, you might want to think about including multiple levels because that's an easy way to make your kitchen more accessible. And that's great for everybody from your kids to your parents who come over for a visit. But there are actually many other places in the house that you can do the same, all without sacrificing your decorating style. So we're going to share some tips to help you add accessibility around your house for all.
And now that warmer weather is here, does that have the tendency to make your windows fog up? We're going to have both the source and the solution to curbing that condensation problem coming up.
And this hour, we've got a great prize. We're giving away a $50 Lowe's gift card courtesy of our friends over at Therma-Tru Doors.
And that's enough to get you a little jump start on your next summer project. So pick up the phone and give us a call right now. The number is 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Nancy in Arizona is on the line with a roofing question. How can we help you today?
We just got a new roof put on our house, and it's a two-ply peel-and-stick modified bitumen roof.
Yes.
And the guys came in and laid the sheets down and then rolled a big, heavy 100-pound roller over to adhese the two sides.
Mm-hmm.
But
yep.
We earlier, what they took off our roof was a five-ply tar and
a
five-ply roof. And we understand it was like an industrial roof almost
on our
house.
Yeah.
And my husband and I are wondering if we're looking at half of the roof that we used to have or if it's a good one because they keep bragging about the new technology and how good everything is. But, you know, we get up there and we look at it and we're looking at this teeny tiny little almost immeasurable amount of roofing product on our roof and we're just wondering.
Yeah, well, it is kind of the lightweight version. Now, the reason you had to have five plies is because you needed five plies for it to be waterproof. I mean, five-ply roof is like five plies of tar paper with tar in between. But a modified bitumen roof is a combination roof that actually has sort of a rubberized quality to it that makes it very, very durable and very UV resistant. So you just don't need to put multiple plies of that. You would never take that and put multiple layers. You would install it just the way you described. So I think it was probably a good choice, but of course, only time will tell. As long as the workmanship was done well, then you should have no worries about that.
And that's kind of under question at this point. But let me throw this in. They came back over because we were a little unhappy, and they sprayed on two coats of that, you know, what, snow roof kind of stuff on there. And they told us that it was going to help seal it and help bond it and help reflect the sun because, as you might or might not know, it gets really hot here in Phoenix.
I've heard that. Yeah.
It's a rumor, but it's true.
Was it sort of like a gray-like, silver-like kind of?
Yes, it's almost polar white, actually, up there now, blinding. And we're really hoping that that hangs in. So,
well, that there used to be a product called fibrous aluminum that would paint on roofs. that did the same thing. So those white coatings are not a bad idea as long as the coating is designed to work with the modified bitumen roof, as long as they're comparable and compatible. So what they did does not sound like it's the wrong thing to do, as long as they use products that are designed to work together. And secondly, again, as long as the workmanship was done well, that means that it's sealed properly around the flashing, where the pipes come through the roof, if you've got any types of curb walls or knee walls or anything like that. As long as that was installed correctly, all of those joints, that's where the rubber hits the road. If that's not really done well, when you do eventually get some rain there in Phoenix, Arizona, you'll find out about it.
Well, usually when we get it, we get a lot of it. So
yeah.
We'll find out.
You know what? You can always go up there with a hose and test it out.
Well, we could. That's a good idea. I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, give it a shot. Yeah, it's not a very green thing to do, but before the roofers get sort of too far out of mind,
you could
go up there and give it a shot.
Yeah, give it a try. Well,
okay.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome, Nancy. Good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. And if you've got a project that a contractor did for you, and you're not quite certain that they did the right job, that's a good reason to call us just like Nancy did at 888-666-3974.
You are tuned to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show on air and online at moneypit.com. Pick up the phone and give us a call because we would love to help you with this first official summer home improvement weekend. That's right. Shorts on, work boots on, tool belt on. Let's get to it. 888-MONEY-PIT. We're here to give you a hand.
888-666-3974. Up next, why not create more storage and workspace in your kitchen? We're going to show you how you can build your very own kitchen island, perhaps out of stuff you got around the house, and we'll do that next.
On the Money Pit Radio Show.
Money Pit. This portion of the Money Pit is brought to you by Behr Premium Exterior Weatherproofing Wood Stains and Finishes with an advanced 100% acrylic resin to protect decks, siding, and fences from sun, rain, snow, and ice. The line offers long-lasting beauty and excellent durability. For more information, visit Behr.com. That's Behr.com. Behr products are available exclusively at the Home Depot.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Give us a call right now with your home improvement question, and you might just win a $50 gift card from Lowe's, courtesy of our friends at ThermaTrue Doors. You know, ThermaTrue's benchmark line is exclusively available at Lowe's. They are durable and attractive doors that will add to your curb appeal and even to your home's value. And one caller we talked to on the air is going to win a $50 Lowe's card that you might want to put towards the purchase of just that. Call us now at 1-888-MONEY-PIT for your chance to win.
All right, well, now it is time for this week's Fresh Idea, which is presented by Citrus Magic. And I've got an idea for those of you who would just love to have a kitchen island, but you really don't have the budget for a major renovation, so let's get crafty. Now, a piece of furniture, if you build it up properly, can easily serve as a kitchen island. If you've got an eat-in kitchen with room for a table and chairs, you can almost certainly create an island in that space. So you'll want to think about maybe putting two small sideboards back-to-back. This way you've got the pretty sides facing out, and then you can create some sort of top for it, maybe out of butcher block. You might even need to bring that base up just a little bit to bring it up to counter height, but once you do, you're going to have the storage. And remember, when you're looking for tops, go to your local granite yard. They might have smaller pieces, you know, remnants, if you will, that you'd be able to use to create a top for this island. Think out of the box. You can really create something beautiful.
Now, you can also attach two square pub tables that you could probably find fairly inexpensively. Attach them side by side and then cover them with tile. Or think about using an old desk that perhaps you could bring up to the right height. You can even buy stock cabinets to create a really custom look with the exact drawers and cabinets you need. For example, Leslie and I did a home improvement makeover in a house for the folks at AARP. We wanted to create a counter that was very accessible for the entire family, everyone from the kids to the grandparents. So what do? Well, we purchased actually some wall cabinets at IKEA, some tall wall cabinets, and we put them on a wood base that we built, and then we covered the whole thing with a countertop, and it worked fantastically.
Yeah, and it was a good custom height, and it was something that's truly unique that you can make your own, and you shouldn't be afraid about mixing colors. You know, it's interesting with a lot of kitchen designs I'm seeing, your cabinets will be one finish, and your island is something completely different. So if you're repurposing something, you can actually have it be totally unique.
And that's your fresh idea for this week, presented by Citrus Magic. You know, now that kitchens are designed really as a more open part of the house, odors are something you might have to deal with quite frequently.
Mm-hmm. And you know, a great product to get rid of that cooking smell that really tends to take over your entire home,
like,
and your kitchen.
Day-old turkey smell and stuff
Gosh, it just tends to linger. It's on the towels. It's everywhere. So you really want to get a good product that's going to make the odor go away. And Citrus Magic Odor Eliminating Spray, it really does just that. It's 100% natural. It's made from the oils in the zest of citrus fruit. So you don't have to worry about using it around food or your pets or your kids. They're packed in a unique non-aerosol continuous spray container, and you really just need one spray. My problem is I love it, how it smells so much, and I end up going crazy with it, but you don't need to. That's why I buy more. But it's a really great product that makes the odor just go away instantly. If you want to check it out, visit citrusmagic.com and you'll learn all about it.
Or if you've just got a home improvement project that stinks, well, give us a call and we will help come up with the sweet solution for that as well. The number is 1-888-MONEYPIT.
Jason in Texas is calling us with a crafty painting project. Tell us what's going on.
Yes, I'm getting ready to paint my 80-year-old brick house, and I've heard of filling the mortar joints with epoxy, but I was wondering if you've ever heard about anybody using the foam filler to fill the cracks with.
Now, are you talking about mortar that's become loose and deteriorated in this 80-year-old brick?
Exactly, and I can tell it's old stuff that people have already tried to repair, you know, that I'm going to have to take out.
Well, and that would be an enormous mistake, because as good as great stuff is and other types of expandable foam fillers, it's not a replacement for mortar.
Okay.
So you have to do this right. You have to scrape out the loose deteriorated mortar. You have to mix up new mortar and then trowel it back in place. It's not an expensive job if you do it yourself, but it's not simple,
right,
in the sense that it takes some time and some patience.
Have you heard of filling it with, like, the concrete crack filler?
Well, what you want is simply mortar mix.
Do I need to mix that with lime? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah,
people mixing that with lime?
Right. And do you know the reason that people do that? They do it to make it stickier, make the mix stickier.
If you're
going to make your own mortar, you mix up concrete and you put a lot of lime in there, and it makes it sticky. But if you buy the pre-mixed mortar mix, it's pretty good as is. And the other thing that you're going to need is something called a pointing trowel, which is a very skinny trowel that gives you sort of that curved, concave joint in the bricks.
All right. Well, I appreciate it. So don't use the foam filler then to fill the...
No, because it's not going to take the paint correctly. It grows quite exponentially, and you can't really control that, and it's going to seem, you know, wonky.
In fact, I know that Quikrete has a new product out, Jason, that's called Zip and Mix Repair Mortar, where it actually comes inside of a plastic bag, and all you got to do is add water and sort of knead it inside the bag, and it even has a trowel.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Jason. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Rob in Illinois, you've got the Money Pit. How can we help you today?
Thank you very much. I purchased a rental property in Illinois here, and I noticed that I didn't have any water coming into the sump pump from either one of the tile around the perimeter of the dwelling or underneath the dwelling. But upon further exploration, I found out that there was a hole in the bottom of the pit, and water was either percolating or, because of the water table, entering the pit from the bottom rather than the tiles. And as a result, the sump pump's running all the time. And
right.
Was just wondering if that's a problem that I should be concerned about.
Well, when you describe the water percolating up, I mean, generally what happens is water will collect around the foundation perimeter, and it'll push down and then kind of come up into the floor. It usually doesn't, like, go in the walls and then fall down. It goes under the soil and pushes up. And so what you're describing is pretty typical. What I would do, Rob, is look to the outside of this area and make sure that the grading is sloping away from the wall. Make sure that you have gutters and the downspouts are extended away from the wall. And do everything possible to keep that area right around the foundation perimeter as dry as possible.
Okay. Now, I understand that we got a drainage problem where we're collecting water off of other lots, mm-hmm. and that the water table is high. I'm thinking about getting a city engineer to come in look, or the development, but I don't think it's coming from downspouts. I think it's coming from the water elsewhere in the area, the drainage to this property.
Right. I think what you need to do is think about something called a curtain drain. A curtain drain could be installed around the grading, the bottom of the grading around your house where the water sort of collects. And it'll absorb that water and run it through a pipe and discharge it to where basically wherever you point it to. The way you build a curtain drain is you dig a trench that's about 12 inches wide and 12 inches deep with stone in the bottom of it and stone surrounding the pipe and then some filter cloth and then more dirt. And the water comes, say, from an adjoining yard, hits this trench, falls down to it, comes up into the pipe, and then runs off. So that's the type of thing that would correct this problem. Go to MoneyPit.com and search on curtain drains, and you'll find the solution to it.
What about a swale? Somebody mentioned a swale.
Well, a swale is basically a grading term, and that's the low point in the grade around your house. In other words, if you have soil that's humped up around the foundation perimeter, and then it's a low point, where it swells, where it tilts away. The swale is that bottom low point. It's the swale is sort of a term that explains how the water is supposed to run around your house. And the low point is the swale. And that's where, frankly, the curtain drain would go, too.
Very good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Rob. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT.
Vicki in Texas is having a hard time keeping the attic cool. Tell us what's going on up there.
Well, we added a room. We had enough space to put a 22 by, it's about 17 inch room. It's got a half bath and a closet. And we've got 6 inches of insulation batting, craft based, on all of the exterior walls. But
okay. We
have a metal roof, and it's about 6 inches from that metal roof. And we've only got maybe, you know, a couple of inches left in between the joists to put anything further to help insulate that room, because it is very hot in the summer. Is there anything, any product that we could use that is out there that would work to fill that tiny space that would be effective?
And you're using that space as living space?
Yes, it is a bedroom.
It's a bedroom, and it's 8,000 degrees up there.
You know, it has air conditioning, and but we know we're paying for it with an electricity, and so we'd like to bring our utility costs down.
There is a paint additive product. You're going to have to search for it online. It's something called InsulAdd, InsulAdd. And it was developed from NASA. And it's a coating that they use on the ceramic tiles that surround the space shuttle. So when it enters the atmosphere and it gets crazy hot, those sort of reflect.
I have heard of it.
Well, they've marketed it now to the public, and it's sort of just on its way up. And, I mean, the research is behind it. It's very scientific. It's just having a hard time breaking through to home ownership. But
mm-hmm.
what it does is, whether you're trying to heat or cool that space, it's an additive you put in paint, and you paint all the walls, the ceiling, you know, everything with this. So it helps to either keep the heat in, or it helps to keep the coolness in the room by sort of creating a barrier from that exterior.
Okay.
I mean, it's worth a shot.
The website is insulad.com, so it's InsulAdd.com. And I think you can order the product right online. And, you know, I'd also point out that metal roofs today, the newer metal roofs, are being coated with a low E paint.
To reflect everything away.
Which solves this problem by reflecting some of the heat of the sun out. So the concept of adding a paint that's going to reflect some of that heat is definitely a good part of the solution here, because you can't work it from the underside, which is the way you would normally handle it.
Yeah.
Because you have such little space to work in.
Awesome. Well, thank you very, very, very much. We will definitely look into that and try that, because it's just such a pain. So it's certainly worth it. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 1-888-MONEY-PIT, and good luck with that project.
All right, still to come, more Americans than ever are aging in place, which means retiring to Florida or any other retirement destination is the exception rather than the rule.
We've got great ideas to help make your home more accessible as your age and abilities change, coming up after this.
On the Money Pit Radio Show, pick up the telephone, fix up your home sweet home, a call in 888-MONEY-PIT.
Money Pit is brought to you by Stanley Tools, your trusted name in quality hand tools. To learn more about their complete line of quality tools and everything for your toolbox, visit stanleytools.com.
Where home solutions live, welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
If you like us, you might want to like us on Facebook, because our new Facebook page is getting new fans every day. I think it's crazy. We got like 1,200 new people signed up last week.
It's so exciting.
It's very exciting.
I didn't know we were so popular.
I am so psyched that people are getting into all of the content that we put up there and sharing their home improvement questions. I've been on there like every day this week answering home improvement questions for folks that have posted them. So please do join us on Facebook and Twitter. You can get to those links by heading over to moneypit.com.
Joseph in Michigan, you've got the Money Pit. What can we do for you today?
I have a well. And the water is excellent. It tastes good, and we love it. But it's got a lot of lime in it, and everything is covered with lime always, which I can live with that. But I'm on my fourth hot water heater in 12 years.
Wow.
We open up the bottom and try to spoon the stuff out. It burns up the elements. I bought those special wavy-type elements that are supposed to last so much longer, but they don't. And I'm on the verge now. The fellow that cleaned it out the last time told me that it's not going to last much longer.
Now, do you have a water treatment system?
No, all I got is just the well water.
Okay, but the well water has never needed any type of treatment?
No. Okay. The lady that lived here before, she had some type of old-fashioned softener that took a liquid of some kind, but they went out of business.
Right.
And when I moved in here, we liked the water, so we just didn't do anything.
All right.
And now the lime has become a big problem on water heaters. It's down in a crawl space. I can't get to it.
Okay.
So everybody always has to, you know, go down there for me. But I see this thing advertised called ScaleRid put out by Eden Pure.
Okay.
And it's a answer to all of my problems.
Well, I'm not familiar with that one. I am familiar with one that's made by the Fregi company called Easy Water.
Okay.
And that one, they actually sent me one a couple of years back and gave it to a friend of mine that had a well system and got very good results out of it.
Really?
Yeah. So you might want to take a look at their website. I think it's easywater.com.
Easywater.com.
Yep.
Well, I appreciate it. It's probably pretty close to what Eden Pure's got out here.
I think the Fregi guys were there first. I suspect the other one came after the fact.
Right.
Okay.
Well, I will certainly look that up.
All right, Joe, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Well, more and more Americans plan to stay in their homes as long as they can. It's a practice known as aging in place. But as your family's needs change, you know, from having kids to your aging parents moving in to your own golden years, your home can change too.
Here to share a few simple ideas that can help make your home more accessible for any age and any stage of life is Kevin O'Connor, host of TV's This Old House. Welcome, Kevin.
It's great to be here, guys.
And you know, Kevin, it used to be that these kinds of changes were thought to be very sort of hospital-esque, but today, accessible design can actually be very, very attractive, right?
Well, attractive and also very sensible. You don't have to be physically impaired to actually benefit from accessible design. There are a lot of things that you can do that are going to make just living in your house that much easier. So they really make sense for everybody, no matter what age, no matter how mobile they are.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it really works for a house with kids as well. So you're right, regardless of your situation. I know one of the practices that goes into this accessible design is, you know, takes place in the kitchen where you have countertops of varying heights. And that's great because you can sit down to work, you can stand to work. What are some of the other things that you see going into kitchens?
Well, in kitchens, you can have things like foot lever faucets or touch faucets, right? So now you can actually turn the water on by pushing down with your foot on a lever that's near the floor, or you can just touch anywhere on the faucet and it's going to go on. Lever faucets are actually easier to use. Think of that big paddle that you can actually knock with your hand or your elbow, and you don't actually have to put your hands around something that is round and turn it. It's just a good way to get the water on and off, and they can look great too.
You know, we also saw when Tom and I did that work with AARP in the home makeover, I think it's RevaShelf makes a cabinet insert, which when you open the upper cabinets, you grab a lower lever that's at that lowest level of the upper cabinet and sort of pulls the entire contents down to an area that you can actually reach, which is great whether you're a smaller person or you're impaired or you're a kid.
And why would you want to give up all that upper storage space? Why would you want to sit there and say, well, I can't reach it, so I won't use it? So you don't have to give up that space. We actually were doing a job in Tom Silva's house where we were installing a new master closet, and the upper shelves where the shirts hung, there was a lever on that as well so that you can pull them down and you have great access to it. So there are a lot of smart tips like that that'll give you access, and they're super functional.
Now, it's not just the physical things. I mean, lighting really plays into this as well. More lighting is always better.
More lighting is better because you're going to be able to see what you're doing better. It's going to be nice and bright. You're going to be able to find things. And how you turn those lights on and off is something you should consider as well. A lot of us are familiar with these toggle switches, but a rocker light switch is a great one because you can tap it very quickly with the back of your hand or knock it with your elbow. They're just a little bit easier to operate.
No, that's a great point. Now, let's talk about doorways. I mean, if you have the option to design a doorway, wider is always better because, you know, besides fitting a wheelchair, you also want to get that stroller through.
Mm-hmm. And not to mention everybody's furnishings, TVs, they're getting bigger and bigger. So you got to get those in the house somewhere, right?
Yeah, you got to think of the moving men or those strollers. If you got twins like I do, they get pretty big.
Those are huge.
So you got to be able to push them through there. So wider is definitely better. But also how you open the doors in those doorways is important too. Round doorknobs are difficult to use when you compare them to, say, a lever doorknob, something that you don't have to put your hand around, your fingers grab and turn, something that you can open with your elbow or your arm like you could with a lever doorknob. It's a great addition.
You know what I think is interesting? Tom and I saw a spec house with accessible design, and the front door looked like an average width, and there were two side lights, you know, on either side, and one of the side lights was stationary, but one of the side lights was on hinges so that the door folded back and the side light folded back, so it really didn't look like it had the special feature, but it truly did.
That is a cool idea. I've never seen that, but that is a cool
idea. It was truly fantastic. It looked gorgeous, and it was truly functional.
Now, Kevin, these are all great ideas. Is there a place that we can go for more tips?
Sure. The AARP has a great website with checklists for each room at aarp.org/home design. And they also have a program with the National Association of Home Builders. And that program certifies contractors as aging-in-place specialists. So they can actually team you up with a contractor that specializes in these kinds of projects.
That's a very, very cool idea. You have more tips like that on your website as well at thisoldhouse.com. Kevin O'Connor, host of TV's This Old House, thanks so much for stopping by the Money Pit.
Great to be here, guys. Thank you.
And of course, make sure you watch Kevin and the entire This Old House team on This Old House and Ask This Old House on your local PBS station.
And This Old House and Ask This Old House are brought to you by Stanley. Still ahead, if you've got windows that are just dripping, it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a leak, but it could signal a very fixable condensation problem. We'll tell you how to do just that after this.
You live in a money pit.
The Money Pit is brought to you by Therma-Tru Doors, the nation's leading manufacturer of fiberglass entry and patio door systems. Therma-Tru Doors are Energy Star qualified and provide four times the insulation of a wood door. To learn more, visit Therma-Tru.com. Now, here are Tom and Leslie.
Where home solutions live. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti, and we'd love to hear what you are working on. So give us a call right now with your home improvement question, and you might just be the lucky winner of a $50 gift card from Lowe's. And that's courtesy of our friends over at Therma-Tru. Now, Tom and I have been lovers of Therma-Tru for years, and they actually make a door called Benchmark, which is sold exclusively at Lowe's. They're durable and super attractive, and they really will add to your curb appeal and then even to your home's value. I mean, people see a gorgeous front entry and they think that house is worth way more than it actually is. So one lucky caller that we talked to on the air this hour is going to win that $50 Lowe's gift card. And that's a great head start on purchasing a new door or any supplies that you might need for your first summer weekend home improvement project. So give us a call at 888-MONEY-PIT.
888-666-3974. Well, is it getting so warm outside right now that you think your windows might be sweating? Well, they're not. It's called condensation, and it is a natural occurrence on all windows to some extent, and it's caused by excessive humidity or the invisible water vapor that's present in the air. Now, when the water vapor comes in contact with a surface, which is at a cooler temperature, the vapor tends to turn to droplets of moisture, and that's where you get the condensation. So there's no such thing as a completely condensation-free window when the humidity humidity is high, but you can control the amount of moisture in your home to reduce that condensation.
Mm-hmm, that's right. To do that, you want to remember to use the fans in your bathrooms, even in your kitchens and your laundry rooms, because that's going to circulate the air in your home and get that moist air out. Now, you can also use either a portable or a whole home dehumidifier. And finally, if you happen to love plants and keep a lot in the house, try to move some of those outdoors during the warmer weather, because you'll then immediately lower your home's humidity levels. If you want some more tips on condensation and your windows, visit the experts at Simonton.com. They've got tips there to make your life and your home more comfortable.
And those experts at Simonton Windows also helped us put together our replacement window guide. So if you're in the market for replacement windows, head on over to MoneyPit.com. Click on the ad on the homepage. You'll be connected to a place where you can download the replacement window guide for free. It's actually a bonus chapter from our book, My Home, My Money Pit, Your Guide to Every Home Improvement Adventure, and it is totally free.
All right, now we've got Linda on the line from Honolulu, Hawaii. Welcome to the Money Pit.
Hi, thanks. Quick question. I have this white residue on my glass shower door, and mm-hmm. I have tried everything to try to get it off. It's making me crazy. And it's in good condition, so I don't want to replace it. So
okay.
Any ideas?
Well, I would think that the reason you're getting white crust is a mineral salt deposit. You probably have hard water. And the solution to mineral salt deposits is white vinegar. So before we get too crazy with other chemicals or other solutions, I want to suggest that you mix up a solution of about a cup of white vinegar to about 3 cups of water, spray it, let it sit, and then wipe it down and see if we can get it to clean up.
Okay, perfect. Thank you guys for your help. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT.
Daryl in Iowa is on the line with a patio question. How can we help you with your project?
Well, I have a paver walkway from my driveway to my front door, and it's about 6, maybe 7 years old, and all of a sudden last summer it disintegrated.
Wow.
So here where we live, we have 4 distinct seasons pretty much, and but I didn't use salt. I never have. I don't know. That's what I want to ask. Is there any kind of a sealant or protectant that we could put on that to enhance, to help it a little bit? Or
no, not really. Now, when you say disintegrated, do you mean the concrete surface is disintegrating?
No, the thing just went by like mush.
The brick just
weird.
Fell apart?
Yes, the brick, yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Like completely,
completely
through and through, not just like the colored layer on the top.
Okay, let's put it this way. Probably half of them are mush, and then the other half are just the skin on top has come off. Yeah, you might say that.
Here's what I suspect. I suspect that because of the most recent winter that occurred before this, they may have gotten very, very wet and then froze. And in doing so, they would have expanded and cracked internally, which made them very weak. And, you know, add to that the expansion and contraction of, another few months of weather, and they can start to really show that and actually start to fall apart. That's the only thing that I think would make sense that happened here. There is no repair for that, but because they're pavers, you know, you should be able to replace them. Are they all deteriorated, or is it just certain ones?
No, it's pretty much the whole walk. The whole walk, no more than I could save. I'll just go ahead and redo it. But in doing that, then I wonder if there's any way I can help it or not, really.
Now, you shouldn't have to. I mean, how old was that walk now?
I'd say like 6, 7 years old, maybe 7.
Yeah. Typically, you don't put any kind of sealant on them. You just don't. So I would replace it with concrete pavers.
Yep, that's it then.
Okay. All right, Daryl, good luck with that project. Thanks so much for calling us at 888-MONEY-PIT. This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Up next, are weeds sprouting right through the cracks in your driveways or in your patio? We're going to tell you how to get rid of those after this.
888-MONEY-PIT.
The Money Pit is brought to you by Stanley Tools, your trusted name in quality hand tools. To learn more about their complete line of quality tools and everything for your toolbox, visit stanleytools.com.
Making good homes better. Welcome back to the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti. And we would love for you to be part of the Money Pit fun. So why not join the Money Pit community? And you are going to be instantly put in contact with do-it-yourselfers just like you. You can find out what everybody else is working on. You can get expert advice from Tom and myself. Or you can just run an idea by your home improvement peers to see, hey, is this going to fly? What do you think? Is this going to work out? Or, oh, don't even try it. It's all in the community section at moneypit.com. And while you are there, you can post your questions in that community section and we get to answer them on air like we're going to do right now.
James in New Jersey says, how do I get rid of weeds between my pavers? So that's a pretty common problem. And
indeed.
I have had that many times myself. You know, the area between the pavers is moist and filled with lots of organic material. That,
it's like a perfect place for things to grow.
Perfect place for things to grow, exactly. But the problem is that when you spray this, especially when it's close to the rest of the grass, you can easily get overspray. So we're talking about using something like Roundup, for example. You can easily get overspray on that Roundup. So the solution is to take a milk jug, cut out the bottom, or another similarly
like
sized
soda bottle,
shape.
Too.
Yeah, that's right, soda bottle. Cut out the bottom, cover the weed with now the open-bottomed jug or bottle, and then spray the Roundup through the spout. So you're kind of creating a little container that contains the spray, gives you very strategic application to just the weeds, but helps you avoid all of the overspray that would take out large swaths of your lawn. Mm. Of course, the devilish thing is that you never know this until about a week later. You're like, wow, why is my grass dead
in this arc pattern?
Exactly.
You know, another thing that you could do, James, is once you've gotten everything cleared out to your liking, there's a polymeric sand out there called joint lock, right, Tom?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And what you can do with this joint lock is you sort of put the sand all across the paver patio, sweep it into your, you know, grout lines, if you will, then dampen it with a hose, and that sand sort of locks in place and creates like almost like a glue or a grout that holds those stones together. So nothing can grow, but if you need to change one, if something gets damaged, you just sort of, you know, rock it back and forth and it'll pop out. But it does keep all of the bugs from getting in and out and the weeds from growing up. So that's just a good, helpful little next step.
And that is one of the QuickCrete products. So you can find information at their website at quickcrete.com. All right, let's take this email from Brenda in Pickering, Ontario. She says, I'm selling my home and we have some downsides, which I thought we priced accordingly. Regardless, the people that are looking at the house want an updated kitchen, bathroom, etc. Well, I bet they do.
Of course.
What are the cheapest fixes for updating these spaces? You know what? I think that a lot of times when you think of improvements to kitchens and bathrooms, you think they always have to be very expensive renovations. But there are a lot of very inexpensive things that you could do to give those spaces a facelift. For example, mm-hmm. in the kitchen, lighting. Lighting makes a big difference. So adding lighting. Replacing just the countertop makes a big difference. It's sort of the largest horizontal space. Adding new hardware for the cabinets. Is sort of like new jewelry for the kitchen. That makes a big difference. Changing out just the appliances with those that are more energy efficient. Or a combination of these, even replacing your kitchen faucet. And painting, of course, new flooring. These are the types of things that can make a big impact without costing you a whole lot of money.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? If you want to update your light fixtures, but say you've got an island and all you've got are hi-hats over it, there's actually an adapter that several people sell out there. Ballard Designs is one of them. And it actually screws into the light bulb socket and then it hangs a pendant from the light bulb. And then there's a cover plate that goes over the hi-hat. It's super affordable. For less than $100. You can make a hi-hat look like a beautiful pendant. And it really does make a big difference.
This is the Money Pit Home Improvement Radio Show. Thank you so much for spending this hour with us. The show continues online at moneypit.com. I'm Tom Kreitler.
And I'm Leslie Segretti.
Remember, you can do it yourself.
But you don't have to do it alone.
Money Pit.